We live in an incredible world, a huge world, big world, beautiful world, filled with many various types of people, all kinds of people. In fact, the latest census results say that we're at about 6.5 billion people and growing at a pretty big clip. That's a lot of people. Also in this world are just many, many wonderful, wonderful places of nature, creation that God has created. Beauty. God has given us a beautiful, beautiful planet to live on, and a big one. But as time goes on, it seems that this world is getting smaller and smaller, does it not? For many reasons. Certainly with technological advances, the internet, we can be in contact with someone instantly. We have a family in our church, the Wilsons. Dennis and Dee Dee Wilson live in Amsterdam, and they've got a high school daughter as part of our youth ministry. Don't see her much, but quite a number of times she'll pop up on my screen and my computer, and we just talk. Just like that. It's amazing. The other side of the world. All kinds of telecommunications. Telephones, of course. Pick it up and call someone. No problem. But I think perhaps the one thing, one technological advance in modern days and modern history that I believe has caused our world to shrink a bit is air travel. Air travel. Amazing thing. You know, what once used to be reserved for the elite of society, it's now open to anybody, really. It doesn't cost that much. And we don't think twice about someone getting on an airplane and flying across the country or around the globe. It has really caused our world to become much, much smaller. And there's many airlines out there waiting for our business, wanting to fly us to our destinations. Well, there's one airline in particular that has always captured my imagination. It's always fascinated me. It's one that I've never flown on, and I would be willing to bet probably not many of you either. It's an airline that is known to be the largest humanitarian airline in the world. They're also said to be the airline to fly into the most extreme airstrips in the most remote locations of the world. That airline I'm referring to is MAF, also known as Mission Aviation Fellowship. Anybody ever flown on MAF plane? Oh, fantastic. A couple of you have. If you've seen the movie, Into the Spire, you see a little bit about what they do. An incredible, incredible ministry. MAF supports Christian workers, evangelists, teachers. They deliver food, seed, livestock to different locations around the world. They transport sick and injured villagers. They ferry doctors and medicine into places that would be very difficult to reach. Relief supplies. In general, they just bring a better life to the people that need it the worst in some of the most remote locations of the world. Well, in 2005, here's some staggering numbers I want to share with you. In 2005, the MAF fleet of only 54 airplanes executed 36,761 flights in that one year. And they logged 3,461,000 miles. They transported 111,666 passengers. And they delivered 10.8 million pounds of cargo and did all that on really rough and crude airstrips of dirt and grass and in some cases, waterways that have been prepared beforehand. But more importantly than all that, this is where it gets really cool. In just a 12-month period in 2005 when they tabulated all this, in this 12-month period, MAF planes saved Christian and humanitarian workers 71,684 days of travel. That translates, get this, that translates into 296 work years redeemed for the kingdom work. Isn't that awesome? Incredible, incredible, the way the gospel's getting out because of what they're doing. But here's the grabber. None of that would be possible. None of that would be possible. God's glory being seen in these remote locations if it weren't for someone that took the time to go and prepare the way. To go into these remote locations, rough terrain, and to prepare these airstrips that the MAF pilots fly in and out on. If they had not been prepared beforehand, there would be many, many people in this world who would not have heard the good news of Jesus. Well, as we look towards Christmas this year, we're in the beginning of the Christmas season. You walk in, you see the beauty of Christmas, the glory of Christmas all around us here this morning. It's my prayer that as we head into this season, that it would be a reminder for us to prepare. To prepare the way for Jesus. Today's the first day of Advent. Pastor John mentioned that. Advent is simply the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Day. By definition, the word Advent simply means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And certainly in this case, the notable arrival of Jesus Christ, the Christ child, who we await for. You know, just as the world prepared for the birth of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, so ought we prepare, ought to prepare for what Jesus wants to do in our life. Jesus came to this earth really for one express purpose, and that's to call people back. To call people back to himself, to draw them to himself. But before he arrived on this earth, there was one who came before him who was preparing the way, calling people to prepare for the ministry and the coming of Jesus, and that, of course, was John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 2, we read of John the Baptist traveling about in the wilderness, baptizing people, calling on people to prepare for the one who's yet to come. And even centuries before that, in Isaiah 40, we read a prophecy of that to come. Even then, calling on the people, the world, to prepare. And I want to take a look at that together. It's going to be on the screen. If you want to look up there, it's Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Let's read that together. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, which makes straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Wow, isn't that great? Clearly, it was John's desire that the world be prepared for Jesus. And it's God's desire that we be prepared to reveal his glory as well. He desires to reveal his glory through you and through I. But that will only happen if we prepare ourselves. If we prepare ourselves for what Jesus wants to do through us. You know, as we look at the birth of Jesus and the birth of the Christ child, imagine what it would have been like for a moment to be Mary, the mother of Jesus. To be this young girl to be approached by an angel and to hear the news that you've been chosen to carry the Messiah. You've been chosen to carry Christ and to deliver him. I don't know what that'd be like. Amazing. But God looked at that young lady and knew that she was one that was prepared. She was prepared to do that. And I love her response when the angel came and announced to her that. Her response is beautiful. It's beautiful. I'd like to take a look at that. As we consider what God desires to do through us, may our response be similar to Mary's. It says, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." God saw a humble servant in Mary. God saw a young lady with a heart wide open and open to what God wanted to accomplish. She was prepared. She was prepared for generations to come to see God's greatness in her life. Let's continue reading in Luke 1. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. God is a loving and merciful God who wants to display his mighty deeds, just like he did in Mary. He desires to do in us. He desires to do likewise in our lives. The question is, are we prepared? Are we prepared much like God saw in that young lady Mary, who was prepared? Much like Mission Aviation Fellowship needing to prepare landing strips so that the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed, we need to prepare our hearts so we too can show the glory of God, especially in this Christmas season. What a wonderful, wonderful time to do that. Just on Friday, we were at the mall, Robin and I, and we're driving home, and we were both just marveling at the fact that, isn't it amazing this time of year, you walk through JCPenney, and they're singing a song about Jesus. You hear about Jesus being sung in the Christmas music. It's wonderful. What a great opportunity to declare the glory of God. But it's only going to happen if we are prepared. But what we'd like to do in the next several moments is to do that. I want to give you opportunity to prepare. I want to step out of the way. You've heard enough for me. I want to listen directly to God and give you opportunity to do that. So what we're going to do, maybe a little different. We've never done it here. A little strange, maybe awkward for some. But we're going to sit silently. We're going to sit and just be quiet before the Lord. That's so good. You see, because this culture that we live in is so noisy. It's so loud. There's so much competing for our attention. Visual noise, audio noise. So many messages out there competing. And it's so hard to just stop and to be still and to be quiet and to listen and to prepare our hearts. So that's what we're going to do as we prepare this morning for taking of communion and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. Prepare your hearts to receive this. But more than that, more importantly than that, prepare for Jesus to take full control. As you sit and you listen and you prepare, perhaps you might realize there's some debris in the way. Sin. Perhaps there's some issue that's on the airstrip and Jesus can't get in to do what he needs to do. Clear it. Take this time to clear that away and prepare the way for Jesus. You'll see a scripture from 1 Peter on the screen as we do this. I want to encourage you to read it and let it guide you along in your preparing your heart. And then in a few moments, the servers will come forward and get the bread and the cup and serve you both at the same time. And when you get it, just hang on to it, perhaps look at it. Use that as a visual to help you in preparing your hearts. And then a few moments after that, I will come up and lead us in partaking of the elements together. Let me pray before we begin this time. God, right now, as a community of people, a family of people, we want to just stop and be still and to be quiet. Quiet our own hearts, to block out the noise so that we can hear from you. And God, we give you full permission to invade our hearts. God, help us to see if there be anything that might get in the way from allowing you to get through to us. And God, may we be willing to confess that and give that to you, so that we might fully be prepared to live for you and to bring glory to you through our lives. So, Lord, we give you this time and ask, God, that you speak to us. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.